You already know that every church in town teaches something different. Why, one teaches salvation by grace through faith. Why, one teaches works for salvation. Each church saying something different. No two saying the same thing as the Apostle Paul would have us to do. You wonder, who's right? Who's wrong? How can you tell? Why is there so many divisions, and how can I follow Jesus? These and other questions will be answered today on the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the Master's grace of Jesus.
My name is Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder of Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for the teaching. We meet again at 11 a.m. for the preaching service. And then on Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., we have a Bible study. We're currently in 2 Timothy. Oh, along about the 4th chapter, I believe, is where we're going to be starting. And we're going to finish up 2 Timothy and then move right into Titus. Wonderful verse-by-verse studies. That's something you don't get in every church in town. That's something you don't get in most churches in town, is verse-by-verse studies. Because what happens is, you cannot make excuses for any of the verses when you do a verse-by-verse study. You have to deal with the hard ones as well as the easy ones, as well as the ones that agree with whatever it is your denomination has been teaching you. So, it's very interesting, is it not, to have a verse-by-verse study. Now, those studies go on to the website. They go on to the internet, and you can access them there at www.wonderfulgrace.org. That's wonderfulgrace.org. The website is chock full of dispensational teaching, dispensational preaching, and information that you need to know about salvation, about your service, and about how to rightly divide the word of truth. We are Pauline, Mid-Acts Dispensational Right Dividers of a King James Bible. We have a Bible that we believe, and we preach and teach right out of that Bible. Isn't that a great thing? Knowing that you have God's perfectly preserved Word in the English language. So you can contact me from that website. Again, the address is www.wonderfulgrace.org. We would love to have you show up for one of our services at 313 South Jefferson Street, or you can write to me at send that to P.O. Box 384 in Spring Valley, Ohio, 45370. Write to me for information, and I will send you out whatever it is that you request. By the way, I have a special offer for you today. That would be a book. It's a children's book, illustrated, 32 pages. It's black and white illustrated so the kids can color it. And what it does is it explains the plan of salvation. The name of the book is Patty's Most Important Question. It is a $3 book on Amazon.com, written by Carol McLean and illustrated by Patty Bardot, one of our church attendees, as a matter of fact. You can meet Patty in person by showing up at one of the services. I will send that out to you for free. If you just write to me or send me an email from the website, no charge, I will mail that out to you for free. Patty's Most Important Question, you need to have that so that you know the plan of salvation, a wonderful tool for knowing how a soul is saved and also directed toward the kids. So write me and get your free copy, Patty's Most Important Question. That book, by the way, was sponsored nationally on a national church broadcast here just recently, and it's gone with great success. You need to get your copy also. I'd be happy to provide you with one. And we're going to get started with how to follow Jesus right after this.
Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me.
And which one will it be for you at your church this Sunday? It seems that most people attend the church of their choice based on their tastes and not based on what the Bible says. As we go through our everyday lives, whether we like it or not,
We all have instructions given to us to follow. When you're in your car and approach an intersection with a traffic light, you may notice that the light is red. The instruction associated with this, of course, as you all know, is to stop at the red light. But look around. There are cars at the same intersection, and yet they're not stopped, but have received instruction to go because the light they're looking at is not red, but green. The same intersection. Everyone's driving cars. Everyone's looking at the traffic light, but depending on which direction you're going, the instructions will be different one with another. Just because not everyone has the same instruction all at the same time does not make all the instructions wrong. You understand that there are differing instructions given to different people at different times. That's the same thing that your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Different instructions given to different people at different times. It would be a wrong thing to follow the other driver's traffic light instead of your own. You may wind up in a wreck. It would be equally wrong to be following instructions in your Bible meant for other people. Chances are, your Christianity will also wind up in a wreck. As you read through your Bible, you may notice that there are verses that seem to conflict one with another. You may have thought that these conflicts were mistakes in the Bible, but they are no more a mistake than one traffic light being red while the other is green. For instance, when you read in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, to beat your plowshares into swords, the people who that instruction was written to at that particular time would be wrong to follow the instruction given in Micah chapter 4, 3, to those who are to beat their swords into plowshares. You may have been picking up your cross, trying to follow the instructions given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chances are, you found that cross to be a heavy, confusing burden because you can't identify what it is that you're supposed to be doing. In Luke chapter 10, verse 4, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples to carry neither purse, nor script, nor shoes. Don't worry about hotel reservations. Don't call ahead for a rental car. And a seat at the Cracker Barrel restaurant will always be available. No waiting. But then you read Luke chapter 22, verse 36, and find out that the Lord's instruction is to take your purse with you, and your script, pack a bag, make hotel reservations at least 2 weeks ahead of time, and you may have to use public transportation. There's also a good chance that the wait at the restaurant will be hours before you can be seated. On top of this, you may need to use that sword that you've just got done beating into a plowshare. Swords. Plowshares, plowshares, swords, take your purse, leave your purse, leave your purse, take your purse. What is a person supposed to do? There is a way that you can understand which instructions in your Bible are for you. There is a way that you can understand all the instructions in your Bible, who they were given to, for what particular time, and whether or not you should be following them. There is a way that you can know with certainty how a soul is saved. There is a way that you can be sure of what you should be doing. There is a way that you can understand how the Bible is meant to operate and what you can expect from your Christianity. The answer is Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division of your King James Bible. Only by recognizing that not every instruction in the Bible is directed at you, and learning how to tell the difference, can you finally come to a complete understanding of how God has at different times spoken different things to different people and which instruction is for you. If you feel like your Christian experience has been stuck at a red light that never turns green, you need to attend Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will learn how to rightly divide the Word of Truth, learning about all your Bible, but also learning how to know what instructions are given specifically for you. Stop the confusion, stop the excuses, and get to the Master Builder Grace Assembly this Sunday for teaching at 10 a.m., preaching service at 11, Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., or go to the website www.wonderfulgrace.org. It's loaded with audio teachings, directions for how you can attend our assembly live and free via the internet, or to contact me, Mark Mumaugh, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313. South Jefferson Street in Dayton, Ohio. There's no need to be confused about this. It will be a right thing to do when you show up at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Banana split or plain water? Go ahead. Have both. I won't tell.
Oh, the banana splits for my baby, and the glass of plain water's for me. Ain't got no money, the glass of plain water's for me.
Now, our Apostle Paul, he says salvation is not a product of doing things, but of faith in things that have already been done. The Lord Jesus Christ already went to the cross. He already died. He was already buried and already resurrected from the dead. That for the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, we find out then that we are complete in Him. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ, buried with Him in baptism. Wherein you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that a wonderful thing to find out, that it's not the operation of the sinner, it's not the operation of the church, but rather, it's through the operation of God. Something got accomplished when Jesus hung on the cross, when He died, was buried, and then rose again according to the Scriptures. Jesus clearly said that salvation was a product of doing things during His earthly ministry, though, so that's what we're going to take a look at. We find that Jesus said things different than the Apostle Paul, and so we have to sort out exactly who was saying what and who the target audience was, and where do you fit in? Turn to Matthew chapter 19 in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto Jesus, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Isn't that the question of questions? What should I do to have eternal life? And here is the question. What good thing should I do? What great works should I accomplish? What commandments should I keep? And Jesus says, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, then the question comes, Which commandment should I keep? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, doing all those things are honorable, doing all those things would be a right thing, but doing all those things for salvation's sake, is that really the plan of salvation? Jesus said it was to this rich young ruler that showed up and was inquiring how to have eternal life. And yet, is that our plan of salvation? Is that how a soul is saved today? Must we keep the commandments? Must we engage in those good works in order to be saved? Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who says, Follow me as I follow Christ. I am your pattern. Do what I do. Do what I say. Recognize that that which I have said is the commandments of the Lord. And Paul says that you are not under the law, but rather under grace. That's Romans 6:14. And the ordinances that were imposed on the nation Israel, to whom the Lord Jesus Christ came in His earthly ministry, were in fact nailed to that very same cross which Christ died on for the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians 2:14. Jesus says that then when you get done keeping those Ten Commandments, Mr. Rich Young Ruler, when you get done doing those things, when you get done doing those good works, I have some more things for you to do. We continue Matthew 19, now in verse 20, and the young man saith unto Jesus, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Wow. Here's a guy that had kept all the commandments. I can't say that I've done that my entire life. I don't think that you can say that either. And yet, here's someone says, I've kept all the commandments, and yet maybe I'm still lacking something. Jesus says unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou that all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Go sell everything. Then come follow me. Go give up all your worldly possessions. Go give up everything that you've ever had on earth. Go give up everything you've ever worked for. Go sell the car, sell the house, sell the motorhome, and then come follow Jesus. Boy, tough instruction. because the selling and giving away of all worldly possessions, by the way, is exactly what Peter, John, and all the disciples did. There's people listening right now who think that Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, is in fact the plan of salvation for this, the dispensation of the grace of God, and yet, even though they keep 2:38, they don't enact Acts 2:45, where they sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. You see, Peter, James, John, all the disciples of Israel, they knew what the program was. They knew what the instruction was. They were following Jesus' commandments to sell all that they had and part that out to the poor. And then follow Jesus. Jesus, he wasn't kidding. Your preacher, your church, your denomination might like to spiritualize Acts 2:45 when you find Peter and all his gang parting out all their possessions, but Jesus wasn't spiritualizing that. In fact, if you're pretending to follow Jesus and didn't sell all you have, it was eternal life lost. But if you denied that same instruction to the Holy Ghost after Jesus had ascended into heaven, you were struck down dead. Look in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Here comes a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife, and they sold a possession. Notice, they didn't sell all their possessions as the instruction was, but rather they sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, for you NIV folks, that means she knew all about what was going on, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, Ananias, Ananias. Oh, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? I added that, by the way. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And why hast thou not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. I suppose so. Here's Ananias biting the dust, falling down dead, all because he had lied to the Holy Ghost and had not sold all his possessions. He kept back part of the price and didn't give it all to the apostles, didn't give it all to the church, as Acts chapter 2, verse 45 commanded, that they had to give out all their possessions, had to part them to all men. That the same as what Jesus had commanded that rich young ruler in Matthew 19:21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and come follow me. Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. They held back part of their possession and paid dearly with their life. What Ananias and Sapphira did, by the way, was to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 3, verse 28 says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherever soever they shall blaspheme, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Oh, before I learned how to rightly divide, before I understood Pauline doctrine, that verse used to keep me up at night. Have I blasphemed the Holy Ghost? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? You may be worried about things like, have you committed the unpardonable sin? If so, then that won't be forgiven. Then if your sins aren't forgiven, then you won't go to heaven. If you won't go to heaven, then the only place you can land is hell. Have you committed the unpardonable sin? Have you? Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Many of you have worried about that very same thing that I used to worry about. No doubt. You have seen, as you've read your Bible, that there are, in fact, people in your Bible that can lose their salvation. You see, not everyone in your Bible is the same, and not every doctrine, not every instruction for everybody is the same. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And you see the people that can lose their salvation when Jesus speaks in Mark chapter 3, verse 27, and says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Satan had bound Ananias and Sapphira from telling the truth, from giving all the money, and spoiled the house, spoiled the salvation, spoiled their life, and took their life from them. The group in your Bible that's in danger of losing their salvation because of a failure to perform the various works of righteousness, I've got some good news for you. It's always Israel. It's never the church, the body of Christ. That would be you. It's always Israel. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter writing to Israel, says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The pits of hell are deeper for those who have understood salvation. The pits of hell are deeper for those who have understood the ways of the Lord, have had the knowledge of the Lord, who have had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then have blasphemed the Holy Spirit by denying the commandments and by failing to do the righteous works and the righteous acts that were commanded of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it had been better for them, verse 21, for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." You and I, the church, the body of Christ, we have security in our salvation because our salvation is not based upon works of righteousness which we have done, but it is His mercy that saves us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we find that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in fact what seals us, seals our salvation, makes us secure in our salvation until that day of redemption of the body. Ephesians 1:13, we have the Holy Spirit as the promise of our inheritance. It's sealed until that day of redemption. Ananias and Sapphira, they were overcome by the devil, but you and I, as members of the body of Christ, have God's assurance that even the devil cannot separate us from the love of God and our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's good news, because God is for you after you have trusted the payment made by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Romans 5:1, you become at peace with God. Paul continues in verse 35 of Romans chapter 8 and says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" The answer is nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In its proper context, when the giving away of all your earthly possessions is a requirement for eternal life, you can see why the rich man is at such a disadvantage. The Lord Jesus, Matthew 19, verse 22, continues and says, "But when the young man," this same man who had asked about what must I do to have eternal life and was given some things to do, keep the commandments, and then said, given the give away all your possessions, the young man heard that saying, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, he had lots of things, lots of nice things, lots of new things. Maybe his car was new. Maybe his house was new. Maybe he was very attached to all those possessions. Maybe it's just the same way that you are. Well, then Jesus said unto his disciples in verse 23, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Well, if you've ever tried to put a camel through the eye of a needle, you'll know that that's a difficult task. And giving away all your worldly possessions was, in fact, a literal command. It wasn't a spiritual command. It wasn't just a parable or a story or something to illustrate a point. It was actually a literal command given by Jesus to the little flock of Israel, to give unto Peter and to all of Israel who wanted to have eternal life. This command would be impossible to follow today because our instructions are different than that which Jesus gave to Israel. Our instructions we find in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, where our apostle, the Apostle Paul, tells us, "If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So, if you give away everything you have, you're not able to provide for your house, for your household, for your family, and you have denied the faith. You're worse than an infidel. You see, the two instructions are mutually exclusive. But being not able to rightly divide different instructions in the Bible, it causes people to make excuses. It causes them to spiritualize, to allegorize the entire Bible. And you understand that there are differences, there are conflicts, there are the opposite verses. And without being able to rightly divide, you tend to lose faith. And then you tend to lose faith that you have a Bible that you can believe. Matthew chapter 19, verse 25, again, Jesus, talking about the rich young ruler, says that when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" If it's harder for a man to get into heaven, into the kingdom of heaven, if he's rich, than it would be for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, that would be a good question. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Yes, of themselves, rich men would have problems giving away everything. You and I, not being rich, would have problems giving away all that we have, but with God's Holy Spirit indwelling, that indwelling of Acts chapter 2, that for Israel, they are caused to keep the commandments, caused to keep the commandments, caused to do things, caused to be righteous in their works. Not all things are possible at all times with God. No, don't read things into the verse where you see all things are with God are possible. God is not going to do all things just for you. No more flooding of the earth is the promise, so God cannot do that. God is not a man that he should lie, so don't try to read things into the verse, but there is, in fact, more than one thing going on in your Bible, and you need to understand that. There is more than one gospel in your Bible. You need to understand that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. You have Peter, and you have Paul. And Paul says that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. But there is also more than one target audience in your Bible. And James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars, they perceived the grace that was given to Paul. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that Paul and Barnabas should go unto the heathen, that's you and me, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, that's Israel. There is even one more than one plan of salvation in your Bible. Compare, keep the commandments, with Titus chapter 3, 5, which is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Compare Acts chapter 2, 38, repent and be baptized, with Acts 16, 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Compare Mark 13:13, "Enduring to the end, the same shall be saved," with that of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, which Paul declares unto you, the gospel wherein ye stand, by the which you're also saved, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. My friends, trust in the Lord and the payment that he has already made on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of your sins. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. I thank you so much for being here again today with me, and hope to see you soon at 313 South Jefferson Street, 10 o'clock Sunday morning for teaching, 11 for preaching, Wednesday evenings at 7. Check out the website, www.1111.com. wonderfulgrace.org. And thank you for listening.